When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much, and my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open just to fail.
Are we up? Are we good?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, see, you're all sparky today.
Yeah, you betcha I am. I've been up for a long time.
Why is that?
Well, just that's what kind of gal I am. Up and at 'em. Loosey-goosey.
Oh, no. See, okay. See, she's trying to make light of it because she knows I'm in a pissy mood.
Well, I don't know why.
I am in a pissy mood today.
Well, you're wearing dark. I should have known.
Yeah, I'm grim reaper today. You know what it is? I'm going to try to get out of a pissy mood because that's kind of the whole point of this segment. But we have a segment coming up next with a lady named Marianne Curran. Mm-hmm. From GoDaddy, right? And this woman is the VP of Media and Communications, and she's going to come on and she's going to talk to us about cyberbullying.
Yep.
So I don't have my head completely in the sand. I am aware of how serious bullying has become, and gay kids, overweight kids, kids with red hair, I mean, are just getting bullied and abused and committing suicide. I'm no stranger to what's going on. I do know what's going on. I will say that, you know, my best friend emailed me the other day, and Vanessa emailed me the other day, and she's like, I can't take this anymore. We have to do something. We have to get involved. And she was telling me about an 11-year-old boy who, I guess, was getting beaten up, and the kid said, there's a video of this, I guess, that's out and that was on the news. Some of the kids, I guess, videoed this little boy getting beaten up. And the little boy, as he's being beaten, is saying, why are you doing this to me? And then the kid, apparently, he got so bad that he killed himself. And my friend was like, I can't take this.
11 years old.
He was 11. And I said to her, I was like, I love you. You can't tell me this, and don't send me links like this, because this is more than I can handle on an emotional level. It makes me physically sick, and it brings me to a really dark place. So now I come in today and you're prepping me about this cyber bullying segment that we have. And I'm going to be totally honest. How do you bully somebody on the friggin' internet? And I know we're going to get into that, but I mean, how do you do that?
Well, it's an open market, really. Isn't it, Jake? I mean, Jake, he's younger.
It is. You know, kids post what they feel, and a lot of kids disagree with what other kids have to say and just find an outlet to get their anger out on other kids. And you're hiding behind a computer, and it's a lot easier for bullies to attack a kid when there's no face-to-face thing, and they just type a simple sentence that really hurts somebody and they don't know it does. And all of a sudden, you've got a ton of people following, and then, you know, there's a kid that kills himself, and it just keeps happening and happening.
This is on the internet, like YouTube?
YouTube's probably the biggest place to get cyberbullied. I mean, you know, kids post their videos, and it happens like that.
So it's just a video of something they want to share. Like, there's no topic in particular, right? It's just something they want to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
They post it and...
Yeah, it's usually just a topic. One of the ones that comes to mind is a younger girl. She was about 11 posting, just ranting about her boyfriend and how great her life is and all that stuff. And she's using, you know, like adult language. And she got a lot of flame for that. And people were saying, oh, you're only 11, blah, blah, blah. And they gave her a lot of crap for that. And that one got really bad. And her dad got involved in that one, actually. They got a lot of threats to the house and calls and things like that.
Threats to the house. Oh, my goodness. So here's the thing. This is, and this kind of leads into something that I had organically wanted to talk about. Because I'm going to be honest. I'm not even going to sugarcoat this sucker. There's darkness in the world. There really is. There is darkness. And sometimes I think of it like Star Wars. It's like there's, you know, there's the Force and there's the dark side. There is. And the Force on the dark side, as ridiculous of an analogy as that is, both of those things live within us. And I find that these dark acts, they're part of our nature. It is human nature. And to keep yourself from engaging in that type of behavior, you really have to stay in the light. But when you're surrounded by news stories that talk about kids killing each other, kids killing themselves, the planet's being destroyed, the food supply is poison, all of this darkness, when we're surrounded by it in the media and on the internet, it seems as though you cannot escape it in any form of media. And it can really disturb. It disturbs me. I find that it disturbs me.
Well, you have a physical reaction to it.
I get physically sick. I get depressed from it. Mm-hmm. And it impairs my ability to do my job. And, you know, I've even had conversations with my therapist in darker moments where I've subjected myself to this kind of news and what have you, and said, like, what is the point of this? Why am I out there trying to make the world better? Is this is in vain? I'm a fool. It's in vain. And that's a really dangerous way to think.
Yep.
And I've talked about this a little bit before on previous podcasts of ours, where it's about accentuating the positive, not paying attention to the one jerk on the highway, but all the other millions of people on the highway that are cooperating and getting along and working together. I went to this dinner. It was actually an award ceremony called Glamour's Women of the Year, right? It's for Glamour magazine. And you would be amazed at the caliber of individuals they had at this event. Diane Sawyer. She's amazing, right?
Yeah.
She's incredible. Diane Sawyer, Condoleezza Rice, Gayle King, you name it. All those sort of female power brokers were in this room. Gloria Steinem, all of them. Even a 10-year-old that discovered a supernova. A 10-year-old girl that discovered a supernova, the youngest human on the planet. I swear to you, I don't even know how that's possible. But when they announced the 10-year-old, because they had a group of young girls that are the future Women of the Year recipients, and you know, teenagers that have raised millions of dollars for their favorite charity, a 10-year-old that discovered a supernova, and I looked at my friend who was with me, and I just said, I think I'm ready to go home now. I'm no longer motivated. I feel like dirt and I want to go home. Yeah, the 10-year-old with the supernova put me over the edge.
I could just see you getting all sad in your soup.
I did. I hung my head low in shame for my lack of accomplishment. Oh. And but I'm half kidding here, but my point is that Gloria Steinem was on stage, and she was talking about how she's 77 and looks incredible,
oh,
by the way. And she was talking about how life is a surprise. Mm. It's just one ongoing surprise. And she's like, you can plan, go ahead, plan. But in essence, all you really should do is prepare. And I realize that life is going to throw us all kinds of curveballs and upsetting scenarios, and we're going to get a bad card in our hand that we're dealt from time to time. And it's really about how you prepare for those moments. Are you going to let it affect you? Are you going to let it depress you? Are you going to let it drag you down? Or are you going to live in the light and learn how to be proactive and learn how to keep fighting? And then after she spoke, a politician, I know this sounds strange, but a politician came on stage. I believe he was the mayor of New Jersey or something like that. You think I'd remember his name because what he said actually really affected me. And he got up and he talked about the future. And he said, we cannot afford to surrender to cynicism. And that we owe it to our future generations to fight that fight against cynicism. And I really had to stop and think because there's children in my future, obviously. And in looking towards the future, if I become a cynic and I allow these things to drag me down and I give up when it comes to fighting them, what a massive disservice. It's practically criminal to do to our younger generation because they need us to still believe. They need us to maintain that faith. And they need us to keep fighting the good fight and to live in the light and always try to rise above. It makes us better people. It makes the world a better place, one human at a time. But for those of you who are listening that have kids, I gotta ask you, what choice do we have? I mean, do we even have a choice? Because I've felt that moment of just wanting to give up, feeling like this thing's moving in the wrong direction and I can't control it, and feeling helpless, feeling overwhelmed. Because when you see, you know, my friend wrote me and she goes, when I see that video of that 11-year-old saying, why are you beating me? She goes, it makes me want to kill someone. I feel so out of control. And it triggers that helplessness in all of us. All of us look at that boy and there's a part in all of us that relate to that. So for some of us, it shuts us down. For some of us, it makes us want to fight. And I guess I'm really urging you, if you are sensitive to these things, or if you have in fact shut down, or if it brings out the hatred inside of you and makes you live in that darker space, you can't allow it. You just can't. You have to keep positive and you have to be proactive and you have to look for solutions and you have to keep fighting. And he also said, you should never allow your fear to grow larger than your faith. And for some reason, that really hit me. And I know what it's like to live in fear. I get it. I've been afraid of business decisions. I'm afraid of becoming a mother. I'm terrified, terrified. I feel like I'm going to screw up. And when I screw up this time, I'm not just screwing up my own life. I'm screwing up somebody else's life. And it's just all of these changes that we make in our lives, they're so scary. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid of failing and then being unlovable, of disappointing people and then being unlovable, of making a mistake and never being able to recover. We're afraid of changing the world. We're afraid of taking on these seemingly insurmountable fights. But the reality is that when you live in a place of faith, faith that it's going to work out, faith in your ability to be resilient, faith in your potential as a human on this planet. And let me tell you, we all dramatically underestimate our potential in every conceivable way, whether it's how strong we are physically or how resilient and capable we are emotionally. We all underestimate that. And we have no concept of our true strength in every facet of our being. But I want you to think about this, especially in this next segment, because I have a feeling it's really going to make you pissed in the same way that it makes me pissed. But instead of I want you to get angry, but then let's do something about it and come from a place of love and think about what it is that we want to affect in the world and how we want to affect it and how we're going to affect it. Instead of wallowing in, look at these things that are happening that are bad. Mm-hmm. And I hate these bad people and these bad people need to go, because all that does is bring up that hatred in you. And it brings up that anger in you, which is bad because it's like darkness. Darkness begets darkness. It really, really does. I honestly think those angry, dark feelings, they're contagious. You're driving down the street, somebody's having a bad day, they flip you the bird, and the next thing you know, you're them. You're like, hey, you know what? Well, F you, buddy. And you're screaming back at them, and they've brought out that darker side of you, and you're now having a bad day. It's amazing how quick that shift can occur. And so I guess what I'm asking you is, if you feel like you're starting to give in to cynicism, look inside yourself and ask what your alternatives are. Are you really going to give up whatever it is that you're feeling overwhelmed or defeated about? Are you really going to give up? Is that truly the choice you're making? Are you going to choose to shut it all down? Because if you are, I find that to be an emotional death, a psychological death. You've stopped living. You've stopped engaging in the fight. You've come out of the front lines and you've checked out. And that's unacceptable. And then, so I was so affected by this. I put this up on Facebook, right? I said, you know, we cannot afford to surrender to cynicism, because it woke me up again, gave me a little jolt that maybe I was needing. And this guy posted in the comments on my Facebook, and he said, a cynic is a disappointed idealist. And it is. And then I talked to my shrink about it, and he said, oh, absolutely. You know, the biggest cynic is the person that has had the most idealistic hopes for the world and was so disappointed that it shut them down, and they became cynical and bitter and jaded. And I realize that it's okay to have those ideals. It's okay to want that perfect world. But what isn't okay is that when the world isn't perfect, you can't allow it to shut you down.
To take you out.
To take you out of the fight.
Yeah.
And here's one more quote that I'm going to bring up and throw out there to think about. And I know I'm going to botch it, and I can't remember exactly who said it. But it was talking about being a ship on an ocean, right? And it was saying that the optimist, there's a storm coming. And the optimist believes, oh, no, the storm's going to move out of our path and go in a different direction. And the cynic basically says, what's the point? We're all going to die, and you know, I'm going down with the ship. But the realist was right in the middle and said, okay, the storm's coming, probably not going to change course, but what can we do to work with this storm so that everything comes out as best as possible and starts adjusting, you know, the jib and the sails and this and that to work with the situation at hand? And I guess that's what I'm asking you guys. The world is not a perfect place, but it's also not a foregone conclusion. And every single day you're going to experience that dark and that light, that struggle between the good and the bad, especially within yourself. And I'm going to beg you, and I'm going to do the same. And I want us all to try to do this together. Live in the light. And when that guy reaches out the window and gives you the finger, it's not personal. He's having a bad day. And in that moment, probably the best thing you could do is just be like, have a good day. Bless. One of my friends used to do
this. Bless you.
Bless you. And I would pee my pants because people's face, they didn't know what. She'd be like, bless you. Or, oh, sorry. If there was a mistake, or she cut them off, or it was a misunderstanding. And it instantly disarmed that person. It disengaged the hostility of the situation. Think about living in light, because just as this heavy stuff can be depressing and overwhelming, being positive and loving and caring and hopeful and having faith in the world and in yourself is equally as contagious. Ever notice when someone's walking down the street and they smile at you? How powerful is that?
Huge.
It's huge, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you smile back. And as I'm kind of reading these parenting books about attachment theory and what have you, it talks about how important it is to smile at your kids and how it validates them and they mirror you, and children that get smiled at and cooed at, it's incredible how that affects our energy, our emotions, our state of mind. So again, just remember that you have the power to tip this equation in the right direction, to stay in the light, because darkness can't exist where there's light. It just can't. Somebody can be screaming at you. Somebody can be shouting at you. And if you look at them and go, you know what? I love you. It's pretty hard for them to keep yelling. It's going to disengage them.
Yeah.
Almost 100% of the time. And you can be mad about things. You can be angry about things. God knows I'm angry about things. Angry about things in the world that I wish would go differently. Angry about injustices that trigger the injustices that live within each one of us. Angry about the things that make me feel helpless, like that 11-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Because none of us want to feel that way. But in that moment, that's where you make a choice to be a better person, to push the needle in the right direction, to choose faith over fear, and to not surrender to cynicism. So get ready, because we're going to get Marianne Curran on the line, and we're going to talk about how serious this cyberbullying is and what we can do to protect our children against it. Huh? You ready, Janice?
I'm ready.
Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can't shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance.
Okay, we are back, and Marianne is waiting on the line.
Hey, Marianne, how are you?
I'm good, Jillian. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I'm not going to kid you. I'm kind of irked by our upcoming segment, but I've encouraged everybody that we're gonna stay positive. We're going to get involved. We're going to be proactive. So for everybody who may not remember, Marianne Curran, am I saying that right, by the way, Curran?
You've got it right, Curran.
Excellent. Marianne Curran is the VP of Media and Communications for GoDaddy, and she's here to educate all of us and give us solutions to combat cyberbullying. So before we get into the tips and the takeaways and the solutions, Marianne, can you just give me a little more feedback about what cyberbullying actually is? Because Jake, my very young and strapping engineer here, is more familiar, and he was explaining some things, I guess, that have happened on YouTube. But can you tell me a little bit more about what this is, so that everyone out there listening fully gets a grasp on what we're dealing with?
Sure, I can certainly do that. So if you think about the traditional type of bullying, whether it be sometimes physical abuse or mentally torturing somebody or ridiculing somebody face to face, you take that and you take it into an environment that's basically online. And that's what cyberbullying is all about. And so in a way, it can be a bit more challenging than regular bullying, because kids these days are so involved with technology and everything they do, whether it be research online or talking with teachers or buddies and chat rooms to figure out problems for, you know, classroom issues. They're using technology all the time, so that they're, as opposed to traditional bullying where they may see it face to face when they're only around the individual, with cyberbullying they're exposed to it pretty much all the time.
Oh gosh. I mean, I'm thinking about when I was a kid in junior high and I used to get picked on because I was overweight, you know, and I had a huge nose the size of a softball, and my respite was, man, when that bell rung, I was out of there. Oh, and if it was ongoing and they could find me anywhere, any place, anytime, I don't know how I would have gotten through it. It was hell. So
you said it exactly right. I think it's that they don't have an area they can escape to where they're left alone.
Right. Right. So this is occurring in chat rooms, on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitter, all of those types of mediums?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, and we again have, I mean, I have a couple of different scenarios that you sent me. Different scenarios. That's disgusting. Different cases that you sent me of an 18-year-old who, I guess, was gay and was having sex, and someone got a video of it and put it online and exposed him, and he killed himself.
Mm-hmm. It's just, they're so heart-wrenching to hear these stories.
Oh my goodness.
And you think that kids would not be so cruel to do such things, but it happens, and it's a shame, but it's also an area where, with increased education and exposure about the issue, is something that we can tackle.
So tell me, now I know GoDaddy is very involved in fighting this. What is GoDaddy doing to combat this? And then after that, I want you to tell me what we can do to combat this.
Sure. So GoDaddy is very concerned about cyberbullying because for years we've been promoting the safety of the internet in general, whether it be for child protection or rogue online pharmacies. So this is another issue that kind of falls under that umbrella,
right,
where we want the internet to be safe for children.
Yeah.
And so it's a concern of ours, and we've put both our resources, whether it be people resources or financial resources, behind this initiative. So we've partnered up with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Scottsdale earlier this year to launch an anti-cyberbullying program.
And this is an educational campaign.
It is. It's part of their after-school program. So there are 9 centers in the Greater Scottsdale area that are currently teaching this curriculum. It went through a pilot this summer so that they could roll it out. They can learn where it needed change and what was good with it. They rolled it out this fall to all 9 centers in the Greater Scottsdale area, and it's an educational program. So it's curriculum around how to identify a cyberbully, how to not be a cyberbully themselves,
right,
what to do if they are being cyberbullied. And it's traditional curriculum, it's role-playing, it's games. So trying to teach them based off of how they're going to best learn.
So what would be the telltale signs of a cyberbully?
The telltale signs of a cyberbully would be someone who is harassing an individual.
Got it.
And whether it be in person or online, or I guess for cyberbullying, it would be online. But
right.
Someone who's harassing an individual, who's threatening them.
Okay.
And it can be around anything, sexual orientation, like you mentioned for that individual on the East Coast earlier, or whether it be personal appearance,
right,
whether it be personality traits. It can really be anything.
And you say here that there's a way to report this person. How would a parent report this person? Because I would gather, I would keep an open conversation with my kid. I would tell them to talk to me about it, and then I would report it. So how would you report this? Who would you report this to?
Well, if you're talking about from a youth perspective, everything that we have read and that we're teaching in this curriculum is to reach out to a trusted individual. So whether it be you're comfortable with an adult, maybe in the community center or a local church or your parent or teacher, or even if you're not comfortable with a particular adult in their life, reach out to a friend.
Oh, I get it. Okay, so you're teaching the kids to talk to their parents or someone so they can get help managing the situation.
Absolutely. And then
as a
the
parent,
hope is that...
Yeah, go ahead.
That as a parent, then when they hear of issues around cyberbullying with a child, they're going to reach out to the school administration, perhaps to the parents of the child that is initiating the cyberbullying, to get to the root cause and hopefully stop it.
Okay. And can you do anything with the site directly? Do you have any recourse asking the site that this is occurring on to stop it?
Well, from what we've seen and what we've read is most site administrators, principals, teachers are very open to combating cyberbullying.
Okay.
So they don't take it lightly. It's something that when they hear about, they're digging in and they're going to do everything they can to stop it. You know, the sad thing is it doesn't always happen.
Right.
But, you know, we hope that, like I said, with more education and more presence this has in our lives with stopping it, it's going to stop.
Marianne, you mentioned something about teaching them that they're not to be harassed. Do you think kids really understand when they are being harassed? Like, do we understand what that means, or does it go too far until they get, oh my God, I'm being harassed? Like, I know from work situations, I was harassed at work, and it didn't really... I'm not a dumb woman, but sometimes it just didn't clue in until it really started feeling bad.
Well, because sometimes it's so shocking that
it's so subtle.
It takes you a little while to process that information and go, wait a second, that was abusive.
That was abusive. So, do you think they understand when they're young what harassment really is?
You bring up a really good point because I think that it's tough being a kid.
Yeah.
And so some of what they are exposed to, they think it's normal.
Yeah, exactly.
And So what we're teaching through this curriculum is that what are the signs? And the signs are if people are making fun of you, if they're making you feel bad about yourself.
Right.
And that it's not to be tolerated.
You know, I remember when I was working on Losing It, I worked with a young teenage boy who was overweight and he was just getting attacked in school. It was incessant. His name was Elijah, the sweetest kid you could ever meet in your life. And I went over some things that he could do in school. Body language, where he stood up taller. He put his hand out, said, "Don't speak to me that way." And really stood his ground, showed that he respected himself. And it helped to prevent the bullying from starting. And I remember as a kid when I, through martial arts, began to carry myself differently. And I began to look people in the eye, and I had that body language, and I was like, "What did you say to me?" Like it stopped. this is where all this comes from. But I'm a huge believer in, you know, once you're in a mess, okay, you deal with a mess. Once it's begun, and sometimes it's unavoidable, you have to find the best way to deal with the situation. But I'm a huge believer in, when you see evil in the road, go the other way. Don't engage it. So what can we do to help prevent this stuff from even beginning? Because, you know, Jake here was telling me about an 11-year-old girl who went online and she was just talking about how much she loved her life. And all of a sudden, millions of people came out and attacked this kid about who does she think she is and she doesn't know anything. So should we be telling our kids not to be posting this stuff online, or is that too restrictive? What can we do to prevent this from starting, or what, in a perfect world?
In a perfect world, it would be easy, but I think that it's not.
Right.
So it's definitely multifaceted.
Right.
The first thing we need to teach kids is to not be a bully themselves.
Okay.
So to kind of put, you know, kind of the age old, how would you feel if somebody did that to you?
Right.
So kind of do a little role reversal, a little role playing to say, okay, if you're going to be rude to somebody, pretend like they're being rude to you and see how that feels in your heart. And so I think that's the first step.
Right. Education and communication. Education. Of course. Right.
And then the other steps would be that if it's in the early, like infancy stage of starting with bullying, cyberbullying, is don't respond to the bully.
Oh.
Like you said, look the other way, walk down the other path, just don't respond. And then also equally important is don't retaliate.
Yep.
So because that can start that whole cycle of aggression.
Yes.
And that's usually what the bully feeds off of because they're insecure themselves.
That's
right.
They're
going to look for that power that they have over you.
It's like, it's so funny because this is slightly different, but with haters, I never respond to haters because you don't give it energy. When you respond to haters, it's like giving them raw steak. It allows them to just play out whatever angry, furious dynamic is going on that truthfully has nothing to do with me. Like, this is not about me. This is about you had a bad day or you know, I remind you of your mother or who knows what.
Right.
But you learn that right away with haters. It's like I never engage them. Never. I just delete, block.
Jillian, that's a pretty mature way of thinking. And it's an important way of thinking. And we're trying to teach the kids that is the way to think.
Right. That's so clever. Because your first inclination, though, is to respond. It's to turn around and go, you know what? F you, or you look in the mirror, or because it triggers us. But that's actually a great, I love that. It's like delete it, block it, don't engage at all. And teach your kids that. That's so important. What limitations should we put on their ability to express themselves, though? I mean, that's such a tough, because I never want to discourage my kids to be themselves, whether they have red hair or whether they're obese or whether they're gay or whatever it might be. It's like I want them to love themselves exactly how they are. But at the same time, I worry about them posting videos on YouTube and opening themselves up, even if it's just a piano recital and then a bunch of kids go on and we hate you and you suck on the piano. Like, is that too, am I crossing the line? Should I just better prepare my kid and their self-esteem? Or should we really not prohibit them from posting things?
That's a really good question. So I think when it comes to that, you always want to be cautious about what you post online.
Right.
Because once you post it, it's out there for the masses.
That's right.
And you always
lives
have
forever.
To, you know, there are privacy settings on Facebook, but they change.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even know about it. So especially like younger adolescents, you always got to be cautious what they post online because there's really no need for them to be sharing that type of information. They could share it privately. But then if they do, like let's say, for instance, someone does put a piano recital video up on YouTube or on Facebook, whatever, and they start getting harassed, it's also important for them to be proactive and start blocking people that are bothering them.
Right.
So, you know, get the haters out of their world.
That's exactly what I do. I block them on Facebook. I block them on Twitter. I kick them if they're never on JillianMichaels.com. But if you know, on a rare occasion, if somebody is a little off there, they will refund their money and ask them to leave the site because it's constantly fostering and nurturing an environment of positivity. But
Jake, you know, Jake made an interesting point earlier that they're still getting attention, even though it's negative attention. And it's rotten things that are being said. It's feeding something.
Yeah, it is.
So
maybe give your kids more attention at home.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Go to their freaking piano recital. I know that when my bullying was the worst, my parents were in the middle of a hideous divorce. I didn't have any siblings at that point in my life. I was an only child. And I felt completely alone. Granted, there was no internet, so I couldn't go on and just mouth off or vent or, you know, because then you had a diary. You had a journal, you know, that you kept. You didn't have a blog for the world to read. You know what I mean?
Just see. You still have your little diary?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. You should see how
I think you should publish. I think that should be your next book.
12-year-old angst. I mean, it's hysterical. I can't remember. There was some segment that they were doing on a teen show, and they'd asked me for some of that stuff. And I went back through it, and I was like, I had a poem. I was like, they're killing her. She's dying. Oh, can't you hear her scream? Just dark, sort of sad teenage stuff. I mean, I was really, it was like, yeah, it was a bad, bad time in my life. And I'm so glad I didn't have the ability to go on and put it on blast, frankly.
Yeah, I hear you though, Jillian, but in a way, some of those things should be private and they should be private. But then also by other people sharing some of those details, other people know they're not alone.
I get it. I think there's with everything. I think what we're saying here is with everything, there's a middle ground. So make sure that you maintain constant open communication with your kids that has no judgment. So they're not afraid to come to you and tell you if they're struggling with being gay or whatever other things they might be feeling insecure about. Give them that attention at home so they're not seeking it online. Teach them how to block this stuff and shut it out and not to respond. Help them handle this situation with other parents at school or remove them from the site. Monitor their internet use, which, you know, you guys, the GoDaddy people have talked to me about in particular when it comes to pharmacies where teenagers are getting are getting drugs and pornography online and things of that nature. Don't leave them unattended when it comes to the internet, especially younger kids. And be aware of what's going on in the world so you can be proactive about it.
And I would say that, like, as a parent, whether you're a parent of the bullying type, is to reinforce to them is to make good decisions. Whatever it is, are you making a good decision here?
Yeah.
And if you're the parent of a child who's being bullied, cyberbullied, is to let them know, don't let people push you around.
Right.
Like, you're here for a reason, you're special, and there are people who love you. Don't let them push you around.
And you know, another thing I learned about kids that bully when I was helping that young boy, Elijah, is that oftentimes those kids are feeling fundamentally disempowered in their own homes and insecure. And so they're seeking to bully in order to gain control of somebody else because it makes them feel more in control. So if you are the parent that has a kid that's a bully, look at why they may be feeling bullied at home or out of control at home and not able to feel good about themselves, because ultimately, in a very strange way, it is a reflection of their insecurities. And it's also that deep need for kids to bond. I remember I was getting picked on one day, and this was the worst of it. I was in seventh grade, and I had gotten, somehow the popular guy in school got mad at me. And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, the entire class was surrounding me as I was eating my lunch and calling me names and throwing food at me. And I was sitting on this field and there was a boy in my class who'd been a family friend. He grew up with me and he was with them bullying me and calling me names. And I remember thinking, how is that even possible? Like, we opened Christmas presents together and that's how desperately he needed to fit in. And so looking at the motivation for this, your kids need to fit in, your kids need to feel in control. If you as a parent can make them feel validated and in control and strong and empowered, it will probably prevent them from engaging in bullying another kid. Because I never even thought about having the kid that was a bully. I feel like I would die if my kid was the bully. I always think about my kid being the bullied kid. I've never put myself in the other pair of shoes. So it's clearly very important to look at it from both perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marianne, I can't thank you enough for your time. We really appreciate it. And you guys are doing, of course, awesome, super-duper stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Jillian. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, so for everyone listening, stay tuned because soon we're going to have a thing where you can get a GoDaddy domain for only $1 a year, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. What do you have planned for Thanksgiving, Jillian?
Ooh, I'm going on a ski trip with a bunch of friends.
Oh, nice.
Really?
I know.
You ski?
No.
Well,
no,
safe.
Not at all.
I was really
Are you going to take a lesson?
I actually hate skiing. When I was a little kid, I remember I took a lesson and I've always been a skater and a surfer. So the two sort of individual skis thing really bums my flow. And I was going down this mountain and they were telling me to do something called the snow plow, which is the most asinine thing in the world, where you're supposed to spread your legs and point your toes together.
This is very good.
That's
for
my
you.
Main move. Don't make fun of it.
Oh my God. All I know is I ended up doing the splits all the way down the mountain and shredded my groin. I never thought I would heal. It was the worst. And then you fall down in those damn skis and you can't get back up again. I mean, it's just, skiing is not for me. Snowboarding. I'm gonna engage in some snowboarding. I'm a snowboarder.
Oh my God.
Snowboarding is cool.
Have fun.
Thanks, Marianne. Have a great holiday.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. Skiing. Skiing sucks.
I'm not a skier, and I'm not a snowboarder.
I'm actually neither myself, but I think that it sounds really cool.
I've cross-country skied. That's fun. I know it.
It's
not
fun at all, dude.
It's hard. It's hard. It's
good. There's nothing fun about cross country.
Have you done it?
Yeah, on one of those old Nordic tracks.
Don't you have some Nordic in you? Are you
Nordic? I'm half Arab. Nordic. No. My mom's mom is an Austrian Jew. My dad's a full Arab. No.
Austrian.
I got all the strikes. I got Jewish in me. I got Arab in me. I'm a woman, which is hard enough in this world. I mean, I got all. Heck no. No, I'm Mediterranean other than that weird Austrian Jew part thrown in there. No, my mom's dad was Sicilian. Why do you think I'm such a...
I thought you had a little...
Nordic?
I thought you had
do
a
I
little...
Do I look Nordic?
You seem a little Vikingish to me.
Viking.
Yeah.
Like Valhalla?
You're like a Viking woman to
me. I'm 2 feet tall, Janice.
I know, but you would probably look good on the head of the boat. You know, just to go.
Okay. Well, before we get into any trouble with various ethnic groups.
Well, hang on a second. Do we have time?
Time for what?
Okay. Hang on. Let me do a quick ad here. Oh, we don't have time for a call, do we?
What?
No, we can't.
Take a call.
We don't have time to fit it in this show.
That's going to piss people off, Janice.
Okay, we really don't have time for a call, but we got a great Facebook question I want to ask you.
Okay.
I mean, that's not me personally, but Colleen. Okay. Colleen wrote in. She buys fresh milk that's delivered from a local farm, and her son gets stomach problems when he drinks milk.
Oh, he's lactose intolerant.
Her doctors have asked her to put him on soy milk, but after listening to your podcasts, she's hesitant to do so.
Thank God.
Do you have any insight on giving her son coconut milk, or should she change over to organic goat's milk?
Wow.
She's kind of at a loss, and he's only 1 year old. He's just a little guffer.
He's a little guffer.
He's a little guffer.
Great question. So many people are actually lactose intolerant. That's fine. I don't even want to see kids on dairy if it's non-organic because of the hormones that go into it and the antibiotics that go into it. So Let's put that aside. You got a lot of different options here. I'm going quick because Janice is having a panic attack. Almond milk. Okay. No, just breathe, Janice. Go do some spread eagle push-ups somewhere like you like to do at the gym. Breathe, Janice. Okay. Almond milk. Good option. Make sure that it is organic if you're going to give your kid almond milk, because almonds actually have a lot of different pesticides on them. So it's a good option, but it has to be organic. Coconut milk is great because coconuts are automatically organic because they have such a tough, hard shell. And they actually make the coconut milk out of the husks, that there is no way they're genetically modified and they are not covered in pesticides. So I like coconut milk for that reason. And the fats in the coconut milk, medium chain fatty acids, are actually really healthy and they're used for energy. They're very rarely converted to fat. Google it. You'll learn all about it. Do your little Wikipedia on medium chain fatty acids and you'll learn the benefits of them. So coconut milk is a great option. Almond, if it's organic, is a good option. You can go rice milk, but it really doesn't have a ton of nutrients. Hemp milk is also an option, but I don't like the way that it tastes. That's me personally. I don't know about goat's milk. I'm not so sure about that one. I never drank it. I've never drank it myself. So to me, I would go with those options.
Yeah, rice milk is like pea water. Sorry.
Pea water?
Well, it's just, it's like...
Pea water? That was uncalled for. When I said it didn't have a lot of nutrients, but I didn't say it tasted like...
I didn't say it tastes like, it looks like it. It looks so weak.
Okay. So, yeah. You guys know where I stand on coconut milk. I think coconut milk is a great option.
It is good. I like coconut
milk. Do not give your children soy. Do some research on this. Soy formula has been banned in 17 countries because it causes pituitary damage in children. Google it, research it. No soy. Soy. Bad, bad, bad. Avoid it. It's a genetically modified organism. We do not know how that affects human bodies at this time. It hasn't been researched enough. Number two, it's a heavily, heavily sprayed crop. Pesticides, very, very bad for kids, especially one-year-olds. Number three, soy, when it isn't fermented, has isoflavones in it, and research and studies have shown that the isoflavones in soy can affect your hormone balance, whether it's pituitary, whether it's thyroid. There's all kinds of wonky stuff that goes on with non-fermented soy. Research it, investigate it. Number four, soy is very estrogenic, and especially in boys, it's a no-no. It's a passaroo. And they'll tell you, oh, it's mild. No, no soy. End of story. End of conversation. I did it quick. You happy?
I am. Yeah, no, you know what you should do is give the give our phone number.
All right. So if you want to call in and ask us questions, dial 888-950-6611. Leave your voicemail for us. Only we check it. It's totally private and it's toll free. All right.
I know. We got to go. Say goodbye. We got to go.
That's my job. I'm the gatekeeper.
Okay, gatekeeper.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Bye. I'm underneath it all tonight. At my window, there's a million lights. Thousand hearts feeling just like me. Man, it feels like heaven out here in the street. I know I got a lot to learn. Breaking bottles only left me hurt. They were fire till I burned myself. Don't you know that love will bring us somewhere? Take the left, I'll take the right. Under arrest, we're under fire. Oh, 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 oh. I don't wanna go to heaven if I can't get in. You take the low, I'll take the high. You lock the gate.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, Use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.